Welcome back to your Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow and occupier, says me, in for Mike Malloy from bradblog.com, occupying your public airwaves until he will next return, which means you got me tonight and all next week. Get over it. Come on, it could be worse. So glad you could join me, and don't forget to stop by our live chat room that is hopping, and I'm doing my best to keep my eyes on it at bradblog.com. Just go to the first item there, click through to the comments, and you'll find the whole gang there. And Dez and Angel are moderating and making sure the free speech continues all night long. Our phone number is tonight, 877-520-1150. Going to get to a call here in a moment. And then we're going to be joined shortly by Denise Lockwood out of Wisconsin to talk about these right-wingers who are allegedly planning to go out, collect signatures for Scott Walker's recall, and then tear up the petitions, burn them up. And she's got a source who says he was planning to do exactly that and knows some others who are as well. So Denise Lockwood from the Caledonia Patch is going to join us here. But, you know, I had mentioned the ACLU filing suit up in Oakland against the Oakland PD, who started it, who started the violence against the peaceful protesters up there on October 25th. Now, we have a great radio station up there in the Bay Area, Green 960. If anybody's got, any of you great folks up there at Green 960, anybody up there got any video showing rocks and bottles being thrown at cops before they fired the first round of tear gas into the peaceful demonstrators, please let us know at bradblog.com. Because Ernie Canning and I have been trying to find any evidence that the Oakland police did not start this violence against the demonstrators on October 25th, when the chief of police came out and lied about it on behalf of the mayor, Gene Kwan, up there, who should resign, by the way. Mayor Kwan, you should resign. Interim police chief Howard Jordan, you should resign. You lied, as far as I can tell, on television. The night of that violence that you guys wrought, if you didn't bring that violence first, then show us the evidence. Because we've asked for it. We've asked the Oakland PD for what evidence they have. We've made public records requests. They've tried to tell us they can't give us any information because it's under investigation. Which Ernie Canning, who is an attorney, a great California attorney, who said, no, sorry, guys, that's not an excuse for handing over public records. So if you got evidence that the occupiers were starting trouble and you had to shoot them to protect yourself, as you claimed, Interim Police Chief Howard Jordan, then please show us that evidence. Other than that, it appears to be that you were lying. And your own chief of staff there has told us, we reported it at the blog, that, that was the chief's preliminary, quote, preliminary belief that they were protecting themselves from rocks and bottles. Well, the chief didn't mention anything about that being a preliminary belief that night. He just went out and told people that it was necessary to protect themselves from rocks and bottles, which was a lie. But it, you know, worked great for Fox News. Because Fox News has been turned around, and Tony, you got this montage. Fox News was able to turn around and has been able to turn around and say, these guys are violent. The police are just protecting themselves from these thugs, these miscreants. Well, that's a lie, too. Our friend Ed Schultz put together this little montage of this is how Fox News, this is what Fox News is telling their viewers is going on. It's a complete lie. But this is what Fox News is telling their viewers is going on at these occupations.
So the Occupy Wall Street movement is dead, finished as a legitimate political force in this country. And that's a good thing.
This is about anarchism, socialism, communism.
Well, what they're obviously trying to do is disrupt the lives of New Yorkers to make their point. One woman yelled at them saying, are you going to feed my kids, when they asked her to join their demonstration?
I wouldn't be a bit surprised if it was not blood on the occupier on MSNBC, but rather ketchup. Or stage blood.
We are dealing with part of the global socialist movement.
What have we seen here? Violence, rape, arson, destruction of property, sex in public, masturbation in public, naked people, drugs, drug paraphernalia, you know, anti-Americanism, anti-Semitism, anti-capitalism.
Yeah, that's what you wish you saw, Sean Hannity. You have seen violence, but it's been the police who are bringing the violence. The police state, the military state. Hey, Tea Party, all of those things that you feared from big government, they are coming true. It's happening right before your very eyes. You ought to be out there joining the occupation, because if you want to see big government tyranny, that's it. That's it. These cops in their riot gear. Spraying 84-year-old ladies like Dorley Rainey in the face with tear gas, a Holocaust survivor, with tear gas. Go look at the photos. Go look at the videos. Every goddamn Tea Partier out there who is concerned about big government fascism and tyranny ought to be joining with the occupiers now. And, oh yeah. It's all been coordinated by the Department of Homeland Security. According to Jean Kwan, who said she was speaking with 18 other mayors on a conference call as they were putting together the tactics about how to deal with these occupations, and the FBI was telling them, oh, you know, go in with big guns, do it in the middle of the night, go in with riot gear on, use tear gas, make a big show of force. I've been speaking with a colleague of mine, a journalist, who's looking into this, who's made some public records requests. So hopefully we'll have some more information on that next week. But the National Lawyers Guild has also made public records requests, as reported tonight by Dave Lindorf. We'll get into that in a second. But Bill, and certainly next week. But Billy from Wimberley, Texas, has been holding a really long time. And I don't want to keep him on hold here any longer. He disagrees with me, and I like to bring people who disagree with me right up to the front because I believe in free speech. Billy from Wimberley, Texas, welcome, sir, to Mike Malloy. What's on your mind, brother?
Howdy, Brad. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's up?
Did you hear the guy in New York yesterday talking about throwing a Molotov cocktail through Macy's window?
Nope.
Or you did not?
Nope.
Well, I heard it on AP News yesterday morning.
Cool.
Around 8:30.
Has he been arrested for that?
He should have been. I don't think he has.
Why not?
I couldn't tell you that.
But
the point I'm trying to make is I think this whole Occupy movement is a thinly veiled dress rehearsal for what the left is going to try to do when Obama gets his hat handed to him next year in the election.
Oh, okay. It was so what are they going to do?
Really didn't mean that as a joke, but I'm glad you're having a good time.
Well, no, I'm not sure which is funnier, the part about handing his hat to him. Maybe that'll happen. I don't know. But the notion that the left, I mean, have you seen any pro-Obama signs? These guys have been out in Washington, D.C. Occupy D.C. has been out at the White House protesting against Barack Obama for the past 2 months.
This is a leftist movement, and I hear guys every day on your side, like Mike Malloy, who months ago I heard talk about picking up a weapon.
What?
I hear Mark Thompson. I hear Dave Marsh talk about taking back private property.
Who's talking about taking back private property? Who's talking about
Dave
that?
Dave Marsh. David Marsh.
Who's
Dave Marsh on Sunday? He's the Land of Hope and Dreams guy.
Yeah, I don't know him. And I don't want you to smear him here, but
well, I don't mean to smear him. I'm just all I'm saying is I hear people on the left all the time use words like revolution,
yeah.
use words like occupy.
Yeah.
We're going to take this bridge. We're going to hold this bridge.
Yeah.
I hear people talk about that all the time.
You didn't hear that, Bill, you didn't hear that from the Tea Party. You didn't hear them talking about revolution. You didn't hear them talking about the tree of liberty needs to be watered with the blood of patriots, live free or die flags. You didn't hear any of that from the Tea Party?
Live free or die flags have been around for a long time.
Right. And all
I've heard people passionately speak on both sides.
And all those
I haven't heard anybody from the Tea Party talking about picking up arms mm-hmm. and coming after them.
You haven't? You haven't?
No.
They weren't talking about picking up arms. They had arms. They went out to their rallies with arms. They were parading around with assault rifles. They were talking about using Second Amendment remedies if things didn't go their way in November of 2010. Are you serious? You don't remember this, Billy?
We heard about when Sarah Palin used those little target things on her.
My side. What are you talking about, Billy? I'm on your side. I'm not on the left. I'm on your side. What about all these Ron Paul folks out at the occupations? Are they on the left? Are they? Billy? Billy, hang on.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Those Ron Paul folks out at the occupations. Are you telling me those Ron Paul folks are leftists?
Well, I think they're probably libertarians. I really don't know.
So libertarians are on the left. Is that what you're saying, Billy?
I think so. Well, I don't know about that. Brad, I'd have to think about that one, to be honest and be fair with you.
All right.
I'd have to think about that.
Think about it, because they're not on the left. Billy, this is not about left and right. This is about standing up for what's right, for the class that's being screwed over by the 1% who is standing up for folks like you and saying, they're not saying, we don't want, there should be no rich people, we want all the private property back. They're saying, rich people need to pay their fair share. This globe is not facing economic ruin because of nurses, teachers, policemen, and firefighters.
That's the narrative from your side, but I hear you guys all the time talking about spreading the wealth.
Who do you hear spreading the wealth? Who?
Well, I heard Obama talk about spreading the wealth.
No, you didn't. No, you
he
didn't.
Joe the Plumber. Remember Joe the Plumber?
Yes, I know exactly what he said to Joe the Plumber. And he wasn't talking about the, look, you've got the top 1% who have been given tax cuts, who pay less in their taxes than you do, Billy.
That's not true.
What do you do for a living? What do you do?
I'm a real estate broker.
So you're a real estate broker. So can I, in general numbers, do you make more than $1 million a year?
Not by any stretch of that imagination.
Okay. No. Do you make more than $250,000 a year?
No, sir.
Okay. My point, Billy, is that those people, we're talking about right now in Congress, the people having their taxes raised by 3%, only the taxes that are the money that they make that is higher than $1 million. That's what we're...
Okay, Brad. We wouldn't be even having this conversation if it wasn't for the immoral progressive tax system that taxes people at different levels depending on their wealth.
So
what is wrong with me paying the same percentage tax as Bloomberg pays?
Because...
Because
when you pay that same percentage, that actually is a huge percentage. If a poor person has to pay a huge percentage of what they make, they can't afford to pay their rent. Whereas a rich guy, the taxes mean nothing to those people.
An interesting conversation, I'd love to have it with you. But let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
If we had a flat tax starting at $75,000,
right?
Everybody that made less than $75,000 didn't pay any income tax.
Yeah.
And we gave people deductions for things like health care and medicine mm-hmm. and food, and kept the mortgage deduction
right.
and kept property tax deductions and things like that. And then everybody above 75 paid, say, 25%.
Billy, I'm only cutting you off because I got to get to a break here. But I'm happy to look at your plan. But if the taxes on the middle and lower classes go up, while the upper class taxes come down, and they get to pay less, as they continually do, pay less and less and less, then no, I ain't going to agree. Herman Cain and his 999 plan raises taxes on the lower and middle class. It lowers it on the upper class, and that ain't going to work, because you can't pretend.
You've been very fair to take my call. I appreciate it.
Listen, I appreciate you waiting for an hour to get through. I really do, and thanks, brother. Let's keep up the conversation, Billy. We'll find common ground. You're being lied to by these guys on Fox News.
No, that's not true,
brother. Okay. we'll pick it up next time. Thanks, brother. All right. When we come back, I'm going to – do I have more – well, we'll see what I have time for. I also want to set up what's going on in Wisconsin because, we're going to bring on Denise Lockwood to explain what the crime in action that is going on in Wisconsin and what she is doing about it. But, I think guys like Billy, and I appreciate that he did, he hung on for like an hour. He called right at the top of the show, so I did want to give him plenty of time. He's being lied to, and he's being told, oh, the left, they want to take away private property. And, oh, the left, they want to, they don't want anybody to be rich, and they're being violent, and all kinds of, you know, crap and nonsense. And I don't hold it against the right-wingers. Not the ones who are, you know, being lied to. I hold it against the ones who are doing the lying. Guys like Billy are being scammed. We're here to unscam him and unscam America. Brad in for Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
Let there be songs to fill the air.
Lean on me anytime. I think Tony's trying to talk me off the ledge here with his music. Well done, sir. If you're on the line, I'm not going to have time to take your call here before the bottom of the hour, and then I've got Denise Lockwood coming up. So it's up to you. If you want to hang on, you'll be the first one I get to at the top of the third hour. Otherwise, we got to go. We're back in a moment.
To the table, you see the same old thing. Ain't no food upon a table.
Welcome back to your Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike. You can tweet us at The Brad Blog. That's our Twitter name. You can also chat with us. Come say hi to all the folks occupying our BradBlog.com chat room right now, including the lovely Dez and the lovely Angel. Going to be joined by Denise Lockwood here momentarily. And what I started to say when I got cut off there, I ran late and ran right up against the clock, so my apologies, but I wanted to let the callers know who were hanging on. We're going to, in third hour, going to take nothing but calls if I can, if it's up to me. And as it turns out, it is. So we're going to take nothing but calls. If you want to hang on, that's up to you. You'll be first in line. Otherwise, get in line if you want, 877-520-1150, because I am going to go to Denise Lockwood shortly. And I didn't want you to, because I know folks wanted to respond to that last caller, Billy, who the folks in the chat room say, oh, it's all, he's a Koch brothers. He's paid to stay on hold. Well, maybe so. But I don't mind hearing from the wingnuts because it gives us a chance to talk about how they are wrong, how they've been misinformed, how they've been lied to. So I'm cool with that. Anyway, there may be some other ones out there, and hang around. We'll talk soon in the third hour. Nothing but phone calls. That and maybe that interview with Dorley Rainey. But we'll see. Okay, going to go to Denise Lockwood here shortly. We covered last weekend at bradblog.com the kickoff of news from the kickoff of this Recall Scott Walker initiative that is now underway up in Wisconsin to recall the anti-union Republican governor up there. It is a tall order for the Democrats and the labor supporters who are trying to pull it off. They've got to collect more than 500,000 signatures over the next 60 days. That's something like 9,000 signatures a day they've got to gather up there in Wisconsin. So I think it won't be easy. On the other hand, in the first 48 hours, reportedly, they collected some 50,000 signatures. So that's a good sign. But we'll see if they can keep it up. In the meantime, already we have reports. Politiscoop, I think, was the first one to come out with this, of the dirty tricks that are beginning, that the supporters of Scott Walker feel they can't win legitimately, apparently. So they're going to game the system in a most despicable way. And they're talking about it openly on Facebook. In one post, Will R. Jenkins at Facebook says, quote, "I'll be able to destroy 15 to 20,000 signatures." He might even, he says, if they go well, he might even, quote, "be able to destroy upwards of 15 to 20% of the entire collected ballots in the state of Wisconsin," Will R. Jenkins says. Don't know if he's real or not. But he writes, "I am canvassing an area that is very liberal. I will be taking all those petitions and shredding them once I am done. Kiss my effing ass. There won't be a damn thing you can do about it. Whine all you want. Bitch all you want. The petitions are going bye-bye. The best part is that I'm entrusted with the petitions of several other people. When the time comes to turn them in, I'm sure it will be obvious that I don't have them." From my estimations, he says, "I'll be able to destroy 15 to 20,000 signatures unless the guy above me gives me access to where he stores his own signatures so I can place mine in there. If this happens, I'll be able to destroy upwards of 15 to 20% of the entire collected ballots in the state of Wisconsin." That's just one guy. Matt Wins says, "Not bad, William. I won't be able to destroy nearly that much. I only have a few people gathering them in a mixed area." Whether they mean it or not, I don't know. But Denise Lockwood, reporter for the Caledonia, editor, I should say, for the Caledonia Patch, followed up that report, and I was working on something similar, talking to the Government Accountability Board up there in Wisconsin to find out if the top election agency is actually reporting, referring this stuff, and there's a lot of it at Facebook, referring it for investigation to the district attorney. And Reed Magny has replied to me that, well, they can't do an official referral yet. However, it seems some of the folks have been in touch with prosecutors. And as Denise Lockwood reported at the Caledonia Patch, Reed Magny told her that it is illegal to do this. That, he says, where's Magny here? If someone signed what they think is an illegitimate petition or one that was circulated by a person not on the up and up, that person can sign more than one petition. That's good. That's important. So you folks up there in Wisconsin, you can sign apparently as many as you'd like just to make sure. But Magny says that it would be fraud to either destroy these petitions or to not turn them in. Once they have been signed. And that's what Denise Lockwood, her source, who she does not name, says that he was going to do. He was going to keep them, gather these signatures, but not turn them in, not destroy them, but just not turn them in, and that would not be a crime. He told her, quote, "It's not illegal to collect them and not turn them in." Well, the top election agency feels differently about that and says that yes, that would be a felony crime with a maximum fine up to $10,000 and up to 3.5 years in jail. So the question, however, that occurs to me that I wanted to talk to Denise Lockwood about, well, let me welcome her to the show. There we go. Hey, Denise, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your reporting at Patch I'm sorry, caledonia.patch.com. It brought up an interesting point as I was reading about this. You have a source, Denise, who has told you that he had planned to, that he had already collected about 150 petitions. You've reported this in your story. And that he was planning to not turn them in, and that he knew of two other people who were planning to do the same. And that he's been on websites where, I guess, where he was informed that there are thousands of other people doing this. Do I have that story correct so far, Denise?
Pretty much. He actually didn't say there was an organized website, but he had known people who were frequenting specific Facebook pages that were talking about it, and that he said that there were about 1,000 people. He was told there were over 1,000 people.
1,000 people in this effort to game the recall, to not turn in petitions or to destroy signature petitions. Okay. Now, you chose not to. What he essentially said to you was a crime, as we've learned from your reporting with the Government Accountability Board, the GAB in Wisconsin. So he has essentially told you he was going to commit a crime and that he knew two other people who were planning to do the same thing, correct?
Well, initially he was under the impression that it wasn't a crime.
Okay.
So he was convinced that it was a kind of a snarky kind of a nasty thing to do, but it may not be nice, but it was certainly well within his legal rights to do, that he could collect these things and just hold on to them. He really was very passionate about that decision.
But now we know that it is a crime, at least according to the GAB's interpretation. And so he's had a change of heart. Is that correct?
I mean, it was really kind of an interesting process because as far as the source goes, I mean, this is a fellow that I've known for over a year. He's a person that's more of an acquaintance, and he's definitely a person that has a lot to say about unions and a lot to say about why Walker should be in keep his position and things along that line. So that's kind of where he was at when I first met him, and then, or not first met him, but when I was talking to him, and then I asked him, I said, "So how are you dealing with this morally? What's in your head?" And he said, "You know, Denise, let me call you back. I'm going to do some soul searching on this." And then he eventually calls me back and says, "You know, I talked to the other fellow that I did this with, and we decided that it wasn't the right thing to do, that even though we believe in what we believe, that maybe we should." He and this other fellow had decided that they were going to turn the papers in.
So they had a... Oh, did we lose you? Okay.
No, I'm still here.
Okay, you're still there. So he claims that he has had a change of heart. Now, he had told you he had 150 signatures. Is the phone breaking up over there?
Nope.
Oh, I'm hearing something. Okay. He had told you he had gathered 150 signatures at a Walmart, and he actually named the at the Walmart and the Pick and Save on 27th Street in Franklin.
Right.
And here's my question, Denise Lockwood. I'm all about, as a journalist, keeping sources, respecting sources, keeping it private. But if he is talking about committing a crime, actively talking about committing a crime, knows about a conspiracy to commit a crime, you have not identified, you have not given out this person's name, don't you have a responsibility as a journalist if there's a crime in action? In other words, if he had told you, "Oh, I'm going to murder someone," wouldn't you have a responsibility to go to the authorities and turn that person in?
Well, I think it's certainly not on the same level, but I understand what the concern is. And one of the things that I was really trying to sort out, and this is still definitely an ongoing storyline, so I think where we're kind of getting hung up a little bit is that this has definitely been a process that I'm still very much involved with in speaking to him and continuing to monitor where he's at with this, as far as the specific paperwork. And actually, prior to talking with you tonight, I've been talking to some of the people that I know that are actively collecting the paperwork and understanding a little bit more of how that process might work and trying to understand that maybe we can have some conversations with him about that.
Because, you know, it seems to me that even if he tells you he's not committing this crime, and I don't know the answer to this. That's why I'm asking you, Denise, yeah. And I, you know, we had a nice conversation earlier today about this. This is a real dilemma. And when I heard about this, I was actually doing an event this week. I was hosting a Greg Palast for an event out here, and he's also a reporter who you know, uses deep sources. And it's a confusing question about how to proceed. Actually, I got to get to a break here, Denise. Can you hang on through the break?
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
Because if he's in the process, this guy, if he's in the process of committing a crime, if he's written about it on Facebook, let's say, even if he's changed his mind, it seems like he has, at the very least, the responsibility to show you the petitions that he's gathered, and then so you can follow them through to make sure they are, in fact, turned in. So that's at a minimum. I really wonder whether authorities, you know, he's aware of a conspiracy to commit a felony here.
Yeah, and he and I spoke about that, actually. And when we were having
Hold the thought. Tell us what he said after this break. I got to get to this break right now, or I'll screw up again. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Much more straight ahead.
He said I was his friend, which came as some surprise.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike. Speaking with Denise Lockwood of the Caledonia Patch. You can read her work at caledonia.patch.com from up there in Wisconsin. She, as I, have been covering these reports of folks tearing up or planning to tear up or burn or otherwise not turn in signatures in this recall Walker effort that is going on, where they've over the next 60 days got to collect some 500,000 petitions or more. And Denise has a source who she knows, who she feels confident that he was telling her the truth when he said he had planned to not turn in these signatures and that he knew others who were planning to do the same. She has not named this source. She promised him anonymity. And I'm wondering if he's in the middle of a crime, if she should reveal his name to the public, or at least to the district attorney or investigators up there in Wisconsin. It's a journalistic dilemma for someone like me who protects sources. But this is a crime in action, even though he now says he's not going to do it. He's had a change of heart. But so, Denise, what did he tell you when you talked about this?
As far as the anonymity?
Well, no, as far as you had said that your more recent discussions, he had a change of heart, and is he willing to show you the petitions and to prove that he is no longer going to break the law here?
As far as the petitions, I'm still in the process of discussing that with him, as far as that goes. He also, when he had the change of heart, he said he wanted to help me understand kind of the dynamic of which this happened, and specifically the kind of the network of people and Facebook pages and things along that line. So we're still in the process of really trying to understand that.
Well, he needs to help law enforcement as well as you. I mean, if he wants to be a whistleblower, that's great. If he hasn't, you know, if he's had a change of heart, he hasn't committed a crime, he ought to be able to show you, these are the signatures, and watch, here I am turning them in, and here are my friends, and identify his friends who were talking about this as well. Would he be willing, I don't know if you told him you were going to be on the show tonight, but would he be willing to come on the air and talk about this plan? Obviously not tonight, but at some point next week, you suppose?
I have not asked him, actually, because I know that he's up north hunting, and I was actually putting together a couple of emails, but I sent him an email. He just hasn't responded to me yet.
Okay, because, you know, Do you feel that you have a responsibility to either out him, identify who he is, or in lieu of that, make sure that he does turn in this information to turn in the petitions, but turn it into law enforcement?
A couple of things kind of going on here. I would not have found out about this story if I would not have promised him anonymity. It just wouldn't have happened.
Right.
And so that in itself was a piece that, as he was telling the story, he was saying that, you know, that there were 1,000 people, and I thought, you know, all right, so how do I find out more about what's going on so that I can start at least figuring out, helping to unravel this as far as a dynamic that's out there on Facebook? And I think it's also something that you have to really weigh in your mind. And it's certainly something that I had to grapple with as a journalist.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same token, I wouldn't have gotten the story if I wouldn't have promised anonymity.
Well, true, but he is privy or claims to be privy to a conspiracy of 1,000 people who are gaming an election against Scott Walker. Have the district attorney, any prosecutors, investigators contacted you, Denise Lockwood, to try to ask you for more information on this?
No.
That's troubling to me in and of itself. You know, as a journalist, you might have to say, look, I can't turn over this information. But I'm concerned that this is not being properly investigated. I've dealt with the GAB. I don't know if they do as thorough a job as they ought to. They're certainly up against it up there in Wisconsin. But I think they have a responsibility to pursue it. I think we all have a responsibility, frankly, to pursue it. So, Denise, we're going to talk, I suspect, as this moves forward. But thank you. Thanks for your good reporting on this. And please tell your source, and I, too, will respect the anonymity because I don't need to know the person's name. But I'd love to bring him on the air next week and talk to him, you know, along with you, if you'd like to join us, Denise. Thanks. I do have to run to a break here. Check out Denise Lockwood's report on this over at caledonia.patch.com. Thanks a bunch, Denise.
Thank you.
All right. Huh. Interesting. Interesting dilemma. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Your calls and much more in the next hour. 877-520-1150. Get in line.